The Lock-In Podcast is brought to you by Rotocloud, the all-in-one solution for managing hospitality teams. Rotocloud lets you plan and share rotas, record attendance, and manage your team's annual leave, all in less time than it takes to make a brew. It also makes life easier for your staff, allowing them to check their rotas, request annual leave, and even pick up extra shifts, all through the Rotocloud mobile app. Start your 30-day free trial today by visiting rotocloud.com/lock-in. Hello and welcome to the first Lock-In podcast of 2021, the year in which we hope we're not starting as we mean to go on. With me as ever are my co-presenters Heath Ball and James Cuthbertson, and we're back at the Lockhart Tavern, or Lockdown Tavern, it's now been rebranded. Heath is an award-winning operator of several top pubs, including the one we're in, which he won in a game of cards. I say won, it was strip poker, and let's just say the losers weren't too disappointed.
Doesn't make sense.
I think he's saying you got a
little willy. Wrote it.
Oh, really?
James, on the other hand, is not a gambling man, mainly due to the fact that he used all his luck up by the time he was in his 30s, having convinced not one but two women to marry him.
I'd say he's got bad luck.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Too far?
Yeah.
No,
that's why he doesn't listen to me.
Let me text your wife and ask her if she thinks that's awful.
Well, let's not. Anyway, so moving on. Christmas. Let's talk. We haven't seen each other since Christmas. We haven't recorded one of these since Christmas. The Christmas that wasn't actually a Christmas. I mean, how were things for you two? How was? Did you manage to get any trading?
Got a
under your belts.
Got a smash Christmas Day.
Yeah. Well, Christmas Day was takeaway though, but I don't know. Customers in venue. Yeah, like. We were lucky at the Lockhart. We didn't get locked down on Christmas Eve, didn't we?
Mm.
Or the Boxing Day, whatever. But up at the Red Lion, yeah, like it was just a mess. You know what I mean? It was just. Ugh.
We traded lovely in December when we were allowed to open, didn't we? I mean, obviously the food was forced upon
downhill,
people.
Yeah.
So the Lockhart, you were allowed customers in on Christmas Eve, up to Christmas Eve. Yes, yeah, because you were tier 2.
Two, three, and four. Yeah, we were allowed people. We definitely were.
Yes.
We were. We a bit of enforcement in the air, you know, a few police visits and council visits and stuff. A bit unnecessary, some of them, but I think, you know, not go and catch real criminals because no one likes to hear that. And but generally, I think they were a bit antsy. One of the visits was the officer was not wanting to get his temperature taken. Or his details taken down, but obviously that's what you have to do. And
that's kind of the rules they're there to enforce, isn't it?
And said whether I get a good result or a bad result of the temperature and coming in. So it was nearly on the phone to Poppleton Allen to explain that we look after our customers. No, you're not. So and then he came in and started harassing one of the tables, saying you're not in the same bubble.
Oh, really?
So that was a joy.
And were they?
No, probably not.
In truth, they were working.
Detective Clouseau had cracked the case, hadn't he?
Exactly. He's actually a really good guy. But they were all working in here from the same business, and then what they saw was more relaxed after they'd sort of finished doing their work, really. So you can kind of see it, but ultimately, at the end of the day, you've come in, you've done the track and trace government one, you've done our one. You've got hand gel on. You've had your temperature taken. Oh my
you've
god!
Asked
you know,
people. Yeah.
You know, and then you've got hand sanitizer on every table. Socially distanced. Give us a break. Mm. So, and then if you actually tested them for the law anyway, they wouldn't know what it was anyway. Specifically, not many of us did. It was just a moving feast.
It changes by the minute, doesn't it? That's a problem.
Yeah, we traded up to the end though here, didn't we? And then you smashed Christmas Day out there with takeaways and.
Yeah.
So how was Christmas Day? How many orders?
Horrible. It was one of those ones where we just thought, you know what, we're going to be shut down. We're closed. Let's just take as many as we can. And we were taking, I think we did something like 360 main courses, about 200 desserts, about 200 starters. So, yeah, it wasn't fun. But it was probably the worst service I've ever had in my life. And you know, it was lucky, you know, made money, managed, you know, staff employed, et cetera, et cetera.
Mm.
You know, I mean, that was just pure survival. I'd never go that hard at it because I just think you're not doing your best quality at the time. You know, you just seemed to be hustling, and we were a bit late on getting some of the food out for collections. And yeah, it wasn't what like the standard we want to normally achieve. But at the same time, you're fighting for survival, and you need money, and you've just had Christmas wiped out by the government. So what can you do? You know?
I mean, what do you normally do at Christmas? Do you trade, or are you shut down Christmas
I used to do Christmas Day. We used to trade Christmas Day, and then it just got a bit much. People just became really, like, demanding and upset they couldn't get tables when they'd ring up in January trying to get tables for December, and it just became a real ball ache. So for the last couple of years, we closed. So this year, we opened. So obviously, takeaways. Because we need...
But you intended to open... Properly,
yeah, we were going to open with Christmas Day bookings. The whole year's just been a write-off. So just trying to make as much, without being selling greedy, trying to make as much money as we can so the business keeps on going. Mm-hmm. And it was just a mess. Man. It's like, and now, just, I don't know.
So you were only doing the takeaways on Christmas Day because it was the only opportunity.
Yeah, we had to make some money. Well, I thought, I honestly thought before, the way I looked at December, I thought we were going to get shut down on the 27th, 28th for lockdown, full lockdown. Mm-hmm. And then I thought, well, we're just going to go hard at December, as hard as we can, and try and make as much money as we can, because January will probably be in lockdown. Obviously, they came in early on that. Now it's we'll put us in tier 4, whatever, and then we go into this now, into lockdown.
Felt a little bit like you made a commitment to be open Christmas Day, and those people that then you had to say no, at least you could still offer some service, right?
Yeah, exactly. And we've got a lot of old people around us and vulnerable people, and we were doing deliveries as well to them, which was a bit of a headache, but especially with the reduced crew. But yeah, it was that as well, and just like I wrote on that social media post, Boris is like the Titanic, Boris is like the iceberg. Hospitality is like the Titanic, and we're the band that keeps on playing, and it's just keeping that morale up, just showing everybody, no matter how shit it gets, we're going to carry on going at it, and not giving up, it's so easy to give up.
And how did customers react to the situation? Obviously, you were hoping to be open on Christmas Day, you had to tell them you weren't. I mean, what was the behavior?
Obviously disappointed, but like really, really happy that we opened. We had a lot of really, really nice phone calls and people sending emails and saying it's great, thanks for opening, thanks for doing it. Because we just did our menu at normal price. So we did takeaway, and I think we charged like 19 quid for a turkey takeaway. So we weren't being greedy, we were just trying to cover bills, and the staff all got on board with, said, oh, I can't afford to pay you double time, but I can pay you normal rate. I'll give you some holiday in lieu. It worked out. I think that we sort of appreciated that we weren't taking the mick with pricing, and we were honest about it. So, people spent quite well.
And James, from your perspective, how was customer behaviour? I mean, were they
really good?
Were they excited that they are making the most of the last opportunity? Were they misbehaving in that kind of way?
This lockdown was a bit different, I think. They were a bit, I don't know, they're a bit more on our side. I think they kind of, particularly some of the messages since we've locked down, and again, the injustice of it, they've been really, they've been great, really great. I don't know what you think, Heath, but I think this time round, they kind of, there's a greater sense of injustice on this one.
I think
the takeaway.
I think they're sort of like before, customers never really understood how hard it has been for us. They go, well, it's hard for hospitality, but then when they see the real injustices of you can't do takeaway booze, but you can still get it at the supermarket. They're suddenly going, hold on, we are all asking, what's the agenda here with the government? What are they planning?
We're going to come on to that in the next session, so let's talk about that in a minute. But, Heath, you said earlier that you normally get people trying to book in January for next December. How about now? Are you getting any?
No, I don't. I can't even answer the phone anymore. It's so heartbreaking.
Are people trying to book?
No, one's tried to book.
So this is it's taking the pandemic to solve one of your headaches, is that?
but it's always been a good problem to have. They've been oversubscribed and busy, and you do take your customers for granted in situations. All those Venetian restaurants that were complaining out in Venice that the tourists are ruining this place, and now suddenly they're crying because they want tourism.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it'd just be nice to be back open, but.
We shall see. We shall see. You are listening to the Lock In Podcast. We're now talking about the current situation that we've been plunged into early on in the new year. Anyone hoping for a bright new start to the new year was disappointed, although to be fair, were we expecting any different, guys?
No.
I mean, it was we'd been braced for a lockdown, but I mean, what's your thoughts on it at the moment? I mean, what's your take?
James?
I think this finally it's become apparent that pubs are being targeted, because in the first with the first run there was a sort of blanket feel about it, and we kind of felt that as hospitality you've got to be careful because, you know, there's other retail that's suffering. But with looking at them transferring the terms over from the last lockdown, and to be so pernicious as to take away the opportunity to sell takeaway alcohol, someone's really had to work at that. So I think that, and be specific about it, and particularly when you look at some of the pricing in supermarkets and what you can get, and the fact that they can still open, and we can't serve pints of fresh, great, real ale out of here. Surely that can't be right. Surely that's now an attack on pubs. It's cut to the chase. It's right there. And I think we've been fooling ourselves if we think, and come on to everybody later, about this whole seat at the top table. It's absolute bullshit for me, because no one saw that coming. What have we really done to influence decisions for pubs? Because when things have been given out, it's been given out industry-wide. No one protecting
it
us.
It does seem like every time there's fresh restrictions and things, there's just that extra little layer, sort of gold plating on the restrictions on pubs. So it's this, then it's that, then it's this. And now we've got to the point where, you're not allowed to sell alcohol.
But be honest and say, have the balls to say, you know what, we don't want pubs in this country anymore. We've had enough. We're closing you all down and we don't care.
It's a bit like
that's effectively what they're doing.
If they want to put a train route through you, they buy your house and tell you to piss off. They might as well do that with pubs.
Yeah,
if you want to use it for something else, get on with it. You know, buy us out.
Yeah, but they're not being. They're not saying that. Their actions are suggesting it, and you do wonder how much of it is deliberate, how much of it is just one or two people influencing the policy.
What's the agenda, though?
Well,
do you know what I mean? I don't think
great tax collectors.
Yeah, what is the agenda? Like, what do they want? We've obviously, there are pubs that was out of control with laddish drinking culture and all that.
You deal with them locally, don't you?
Yeah, but what do they want to do? Where do they want to end up?
We've just put something out, and my team have just put a story out saying they're justifying it, saying they don't want people gathering outside pubs drinking. And who was? And who is now? Because it's bloody freezing out there.
Yeah. But you can still go to Tesco. Again, this is the argument. This is what's... I'd love to be in these meetings that Boris has, and when they say this stuff out loud, because it's a crock of shit, and it's unfair, and we are getting persecuted for this, and I really think they've got it in for us, and I think we need to fight back, proper fight back. I really do. I think they're just going to wipe us out, and we're just going to sit there and take, what are we going to do, take more debt? Go, oh, thank you, sir. Thank you for the $9,000. I'm so happy. Oh, yeah, this is great.
Best case scenario.
Yeah, best case scenario. And then when you've still got to get the money off the council.
I mean, have you
It's not there yet. It's not there. You go to the websites, all the councils we deal with have gone to all the websites. It's not available. I still haven't had the money from a couple of our pubs from last year that was supposed to be available. So, do you know what I mean?
You wonder whether they're just suffocating you for long enough, so there'll be less people to bother about.
Of course they are.
They talk about a minister for pubs, and it'll be, it drives me mad.
What a waste of time.
It'll be given to some junior or someone as a little retirement job.
It's not, it's not minister. We don't want a minister, we want a fucking ministry. We want an actual department that is working on it, so that it isn't just a job given to some junior guy climbing up out of Eton into his first job in politics.
But think, why would they give us that? Why would they give us that if they don't want us?
Well,
do you know what I mean?
Granted,
by the time we have a seat,
we can't ask for it.
Yeah,
though,
but we can. Surely can. But by the time we have a seat at the table, who's left?
Well, we also talked about amalgamating or trying to get some, cross industry kind of associations together. If we achieved that, do you think? I mean, have we actually achieved anything? How much can we put down to lobbying? How effective have we really been as an industry? You see different things going on, different people pushing, but really, are we really listening to at the top table? Because decisions like taking away the takeaway says to me not. It says there was no pub consultation on that. Otherwise...
Well, maybe there was, and if they don't care, then it doesn't matter, does it? And I think that's a problem. In defence of the lobbying groups and things like that, there's only so much you can do with lobbying. If the agenda is dead set against our industry, it doesn't matter how much lobbying you do.
But then give us some feedback on that, then, and we can then make our own minds up. Because it doesn't feel maybe to being too classy about it. I'm not talking about storming the Senate, but but I'm saying we are being quiet. I think it comes back to the same problem. We're all having a good moan, but it tends to be to ourselves on the trade.
But the interesting, you were saying earlier though that you're starting to see there's a little bit of outside
customers recognition. Customers are getting it.
Yeah. The mainstream media. I mean, today you've had BBC have done a couple of stories on reply to pubs. There was something in the Daily Mail. I think you spent most of yesterday filming.
Times.
I'm glad you said Times. I was going to suggest something else, but. But so you're getting that sort of mainstream media. Which I hate that phrase. That recognition now is starting to come in.
But I think they need to really, I think, you know, with the government, I think they get one big brush and they tar us all with the same brush. And there's, you know, there's irresponsible operators out there.
There always will be.
Yeah, and they're always, in every business there is. Yeah. And we get, you know, like all the businesses we run are, you know, we're very community based. And I think we're getting taken down because of some bad operators and the way the government perceive us. If Boris took a weekend off shooting and went to a pub and spent time with the real people of this country, maybe he'd see what's going on. Mm. You know, he's just...
Well, no one around that top table does. That's the bottom.
They don't. Do you think they go to the pub on a Friday night?
We had our local MP in on Sunday. As you know, Ed, you were down. We did the lunches for the shielding, elderly shielding near here. You got perfect sense from locals. They get what you're doing. Mm. But I think there's definitely an ivory castle up there. I don't want a job for all the money in the world because I think it's an impossible task, but
I'd do it.
Imagine.
Imagine MP Heath. Christ. That would lower the tone.
You'd get darts players to do the... What's that? You'd get darts players to do the vaccinations.
I'm sort of bad shout, actually.
might get the job done a bit quicker.
We'd be nailing it. But, you know, the whole way they've handled this pandemic, his messaging, the way everything, he's incompetent. He's absolutely incompetent. Do you know what I mean? And history's not going to look back on him kindly. Him and Donald Trump, man. Birds of a feather.
Golden era.
We were hoping for a rowback on a bit of a U-turn on the alcohol takeaway.
So they're never going to do that. They seem to have doubled that.
No, not at all. Yeah. No. And they've said today, it's to stop people congregating, which, I mean, it's just...
Hey, I'll meet you outside the pub. It's going to be -4 on Friday. You okay hanging out for a couple of hours?
Think about our small brewers as well. They're going at an alarming rate. We've had two deliveries today that we'd ordered in December. Unfortunately, we're open. We'll be able to sell them. But you kind of don't want the beer. Who wants the beer now? We're trying hard to do some takeaway. But I don't know. I feel for those guys too. There's not...
The whole supply chain. I mean, we focus very much on... But, I mean, all of our suppliers across the whole thing. They're feeling the pain, aren't they? I mean, from the guys who do laundry to
fruit and veg.
Yeah. It's not good. It's not good. No, and they're not getting any support.
No. Well, that's what Aubrey Allen's, we are butchers that we use. You know, fantastic butchers, but they're under pressure. You know, they must be.
Look how many. No one's open.
No.
Do you know what I mean? We're going to be, let's be realistic. He's going to turn around and go to us, you can have Easter, and we'll be allowed to open at Easter. We're going to have 3 months of hurt.
I mean, you've been quite innovative previously in finding ways to get around it. Not that I'm blaming you for the fact that the government's now shut us down in the slightest, but it is entirely his fault. But, I mean, do you see any opportunity?
We're pushing the delivery side of it and trying to get people to order wine and, you know, as much as possible. If that fails, I'll just end up like one of James Cagney's characters in the movies, and I'll just have a moonshine still and a speakeasy down in the basement. You know what I mean?
Fair enough. I just blaze of glory on the top of an oil fire. Yeah.
I'm thinking we're going to start doing brunch at the Red Lion and Sun and the Lockhart. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and just you know, I mean, hustle as much as we can, because I'm not going to let, honestly, excuse my French, I'm not going to let these fucking pricks stop me. I refuse to give in to them because
that was French, man.
Kiwi.
Is that French?
Yeah, they don't care.
I've learned something new today.
Well, I've always realised about this government, and I knew this in the beginning of the first lockdown. They don't care, and once you get that in your head, you've just got to work to that rhetoric, because I think they don't care, and I'm just going to do whatever I've got to do within the law, and I'll play nicely, and I'll bounce around it, but I'm going to do whatever I can to keep our businesses going.
With the phones, didn't we before?
Yeah.
I mean, we talked to Bob Snowden about getting that, and that was legal. It was by the book. I mean, some would say it was pushing it, but it was by the book, and it was, it would stand up. Now there's people talking about trying to deliver to a lamppost outside. Well, that's silly. I mean, it's just you can't take the
pictures. And they have actually clarified. They have said, you know, it's got to be a fixed address.
Rightly so. I mean, it is what it is. But there's a line, isn't there?
Yeah.
But I think you've just got to do it like whatever you can. But I think if you just, I think customers now and our regulars and our, you know, the people who support us get what's going on now. And they're like, okay, instead of going down to Tesco's and buying whatever you're going to buy, come to us and, you know, and support us and really support us so we're here at the end of this.
But mate, that's the problem. They can't, is that, I don't look at our regulars that would just come in and would buy 3 or 4 pints a day of really good ale, and they can't do it. And that's, for them, or some of them at their time of life, one of the few things they really look forward to, as well as seeing us, of course.
Well, obviously.
So I've been taking that away from both of those things away from them. It's, you know, really poor. So, yeah, it's not, I just think the problem is, as he said, the industry is tarred with the same brush. They've got this rowdy.
It's, well, we said it at the start, I think I said this ages ago, of their view of a pub is a 90s city centre party isn't it? And they don't seem to be able to recognise the variety and nuances within our sector that
because
there's
no
different types of operations.
None of us, we would be pissed off if we saw another pub really trying to have it away and do something. You'd be reporting yourself, right?
Yeah, of course.
Because it's about reputation for the industry. But with this one would see, unfortunately, well, I thought it'd be a bloodbath. I think it's going to be a bit worse now.
March,
just to hold your breath for
March
3 months.
Is just going to be a disaster. Like
tax bills due, you know, end of Jan personally, and then you've got all the other bits and pieces.
I forgot about those.
Just take that razor blade away from him. and on that cheerful note, let's move on.
Oh, I forgot about the personal tax bill.
You're listening to the Lock In podcast with Heath Ball, James Cuthbertson, and myself, Ed Beddington. So we're talking about the current situation that pub operators find themselves in, and we are yet again in another lockdown, even more stringent than we've had before. So, I mean, how do we operate in the months ahead, guys? You know, what are you going to do? I mean, how much impact is this having?
It's huge. I think, you know, the Lockhart, we're going to open Friday, Saturday, Sunday, just the weekends, deliveries, takeaways, Sunday roasts, etc. At the Red, all open Tuesday to Sunday, longer hours. Because also, it's not just about the money and the staff and all that. It's also about being there for the regulars and sort of being, you know, without sounding soppy, but being a beacon of light, like some hope, you know, some normality in what's going on. So, yeah, I think just, you know, I mean, I'll probably lose money, which I am already, but I'll just hustle as much as...
So you're going to be there for the regulars and a beacon of light at the Red, but the Lockhart can...
The Lockhart, we're doing the same. I'm just saying, but it's the same.
Well, you're not opening for as long at the Lockhart. No, I mean, why not? Why not open?
Because I don't think the market's there as much.
That's what high density of population are there as well, compared to here. So I think for us, we're just going to try. I mean, you're going to try and get the balance between getting turnover to try and nick a bit of profit to see your way through and at least try and pay your rent. And
is it about profit right now? I mean,
avoiding going.
I was going to say,
it's
surely
about showing the bank you're fighting.
It's washing your face, isn't it, right now? If you can,
well, if you keep the money turning, you give yourself half a chance, and that's don't you think, Heath? I mean, that's
100%.
Really been you're keeping suppliers going, you keep yourself going. You're working longer and harder than you ever had to.
But also think you're keeping the venue moving. I think it's like a train. If you stop all of a sudden, then you just, everything starts, when you got to refire that boiler back up, you're going to have problems. Mm. At least we know what's going on. We're moving stuff. Mm. Water's moving. Gas is moving. Lights are on. You know, there's no problems with pests. You're looking after the site. I think that's really important.
It also says something about us as well, I think, just digging in.
That we don't want to be at home with our wives.
Beat me to it. We've already established they don't listen to this.
No, absolutely.
Does anyone?
No, I think there is a bit of that scrapping value that you want to display. It's either in you or it's not in you. I think the pub's got it in spades. There will be people, though, of course, that just have got nowhere left to go.
Isn't that the line from An Officer and a Gentleman?
I don't know.
It's Richard Gere.
I've got nowhere to go.
I've got nowhere to go. You've got to
mayonnaise.
Quit.
Mayonnaise.
Yeah, but I think... Yeah, that's it.
Don't remember.
But I think you've got...
No idea what you're talking about.
I think both James and myself, we have that sort of, you know what, you know, if we get punched, we'll get back up. And I feel like the government's just throwing punches and I'm I'm tired, but I'm going to keep on getting back up.
I mean, that's the approach I think we've all got to take, isn't it? But I think the point you made earlier, sort of being almost like that sort of steam engine, if you let it go out, it's much harder to get going. I mean, that's a key thing, really, isn't it? You've got to maintain some kind of momentum. You've got to stay in your customers' minds.
Because
I mean, we're talking earlier about, you know, people starting to see it and think, you know, actually, yeah, the pubs are having a bit of a hard time. If you've just shut up shop and you're not doing anything, and I mean, there's a lot of operators have had no choice and they feel for them 100%. It's such a difficult situation, but you've still got to maintain some kind of contact or communication to keep people with you.
We've seen operators post photos, we can't wait to be back open and stuff. It's sad, do you know what I mean? And, you know, we're fortunate we can post stuff that, like, oh, we're open, we're doing this. And, but yeah, like,
we've also posted recently because there's nothing worse than, like, you don't want to like feel sorry for your post. There's nothing worse than seeing people, this is what we were doing last year, who cares, do you know what I mean, really? You know, there's New Year's Eve shots, but I think in some ways we've been a bit more political with our posts recently. It's gone down quite well in giving people
insight.
Well,
you were certainly political
into...
in front of some of your customers the other day, but that's
thanks for that. I thought that might have got mentioned in the intro.
Don't be rude about the gluten-free vegetarians and vegans. It's amazing what people take away.
So
from
much
that.
Virtual
a wonderful event in which you're giving away free meals to the elderly, but you make one comment about the vegans.
The comment was taken out of context. You were talking about what are you saying? Old people don't really have allergens. Or
I was saying that we'd done 60 free meals for the local elderly residents. It was chicken or beef. There were no vegan or vegetarian requests and no dietary requirements. And then I paused after a few people laughed, in fairness, and said, is it because we mess about with our food so much and GMO and Monsanto and all this stuff?
I missed that bit.
Yeah, I said it really quiet.
People stopped listening to him. They were so shocked.
Everyone had left. Throwing things on the floor.
The woman with the hairy armpits punched me in the face. I
can't say that.
You'll have to cut that. There you go.
No, that's not going to cut. That's not going to cut. Make your own bed, mate. Anyway, where were we? We digress. We were talking about maintaining that connection to the customers, weren't we?
I think that's what the government don't appreciate, how much we have that connection. Do you know what I mean? Like, when we're open, in the old days when, like, you know, customers used to walk in and you used to have John, he'd come in every Friday and drink a pint and that. If he didn't show up one Friday, you'd check on him. You'd find someone who had his number, whatever. You'd check on them. They feel like, you know, like public houses are public house and they feel like they belong. And it's been that Cheers thing. You know, you walk in and Norm walks in, Norm! And everybody wants to belong, and pubs are like that. And
so keep that contact going, even if you're not able to operate.
Definitely, keep on checking on people.
See what's going. I mean, you always have that sweeping the street in the morning, sweeping outside when the school runs. You know, and you get to talk to people. It's just that kind of being.
There's
part
no
of the
school
communities.
Runs anymore.
No, but and they've taken that away, and they've done that just to annoy the pubs. Publicans like to sweep outside and talk to the mums.
Well, that's what I do.
Sweep outside.
Yeah, but that's what I do, though. You go out, like, that's one of my sort of, you go out there in the morning when they're walking by and you just clean up the cigarette butts and you say hi, and it's good for them because they go, hi, how you doing? They know you care and they know you're there, you know what I mean? So, you know, just
start sweeping up at night so people don't break into your.
Two
break-ins. I mean, that's going to be a problem for a lot of operators, isn't it? You know, people
back
thinking.
Back to that point about keeping it open. And being around. If you're not around,
you got to check your insurance on that stuff. Insurance companies are.
That's a good point. Yeah, make sure your insurance is up to date. That you've got that kind of cover.
But they want you to be checking on the venue or boarding your windows or. There's a lot of.
So just to give context here, you've got a wine hut that you built previously to do takeaway beer. I mean, I'm not laughing, but you built this. Again, I mean, it's a great example, isn't it? You know, you've invested in your business.
It's $4,000for that, $5,500.
To try and fight your way out of this corner, and then the government's turned around and switched it on you, and you've got this investment in a chalet hut that's
it's a beautiful chalet hut out the front of the pub.
But it's been broken into twice.
Yeah, twice. So the first night was 2 o'clock in the morning, 4 o'clock in the morning on New Year's Day. I've got an alarm in there, it kicked off, and they've smashed the lock. I heard them smashing the lock, and I was like, oh, you're kidding me. So I came down, and I came around, I wasn't thinking, I came out without my baseball bat, and I came down.
What were you thinking?
I was on my bare feet as well, so I came down, and I came around, and I didn't realise there was two of them. So
it's got hairy things.
I got the first guy, and I threw him against the wall, and I was dealing with him, and then the other guy blindsided me on the side, and sort of clocked me on the back of the head, and then I sort of let go of the first guy, and then they both scarpered off, and I was like, I'm in bare feet, man. I don't have the energy to run after these pricks. But as I went back inside, the police had been driving by, heard the alarm and saw them running and nicked both of them.
That was great.
And then the next night, I'm lying in bed again, having a sleep. And then someone else is having a go at it again. It's just like, you fucking kidding me. So this time I went down with my baseball bat and shoes and chased them down the road.
No police this time. But yeah, I guess this is a problem, isn't it? There's opportunity for people to get in. So yeah, insurance has to be... has to be a key thing. I mean, operating generally under these kind of circumstances, I mean, with the pressing thing, I think, and the irritating thing with this nonsense about not being able to do takeaway alcohol, so everything's got to be done delivery, it just adds another layer of cost onto a pub that's trying its best to find a way to operate. So you've either got to employ staff, or you've got to give a whacking great premium to a delivery company.
We're employing staff at both pubs because
government shares and all that.
For us, Deliveroo, they take 35% and they don't care. If one of us turn up on a delivery or one of our staff turn up, the customers know who they are. Mm. They can look them in the eye. They understand the struggle we're going through. Do you know what I mean? And I think it really you know, makes it really personal.
So again, that's not a bad tip, is it? You know, get your staff if you can. Yeah. Use staff because it reinforces that connection.
And it also keeps them involved in the business. Otherwise, they're sitting at home playing PlayStation or reading, you know, watching Netflix all day. Get them, you know, keeps them in. You can still bring them in for training. Just keep them engaged as well. Not only your customers, you need to keep your staff engaged.
I think it's also the packaging thing and doing that well. Because I think you can get one order once and it turns up and it's cold and a mess. But you've got to invest in your packaging, get that right. You know, bespoke packaging, probably for most of the dishes, do it in a separate way.
Yeah.
But I think the problem with that, again, it's a very obvious one, it's a cash flow issue. You don't buy you don't buy 50 containers of that night and 50, you have to buy 1,500 containers. So when you're already struggling for cash, you're actually going to have to go again. So, and what if it doesn't take off? You forgive people for being defensive because no one phones it, you don't do any money.
Well, you've got to work it out, don't you? You've got to do the maths. And is it just cheaper to be shut on, put all your staff on furlough?
And for some, it is.
For some people, it's just a lot easier, a lot less headache. You know?
But people still think furlough's free, don't they? Well, they still think furlough's free. In terms of not having to pay 18%.
Staff do, don't they? 17%, 16.8%.
Yeah, it's... No, it's not the solution. And it sticks in my throat every time when they tell us what support we're getting, you know, VAT, business rates, and furlough.
And you go, well, actually, you know,
this is... if no trading's happening and the businesses aren't there, there's no jobs to furlough.
No.
So if the business can't survive it, it's pointless.
Yeah, what's the point of paying furlough with people? You're going to lose your business anyway.
But also, you might do it the first time because everyone was in shock and they just furloughed everyone. Yeah. I get that. Second time, you may be a bit more measured and think, who do I want to take on? Because actually, there is that inbuilt cost. Third time, now you're really asking because we're struggling now. So it's, you know, we've kept everyone there, but you'd forgive businesses for saying, I just can't do it.
Yeah.
You know, you see the pension contributions come out, you see national insurance.
Oh, man.
Punches.
And the pension people are the worst people.
Mm.
You try and have a conversation with them about, like, you know, deferring a bit or anything, they're not interested. Then, you know, and I said to them, I was having a conversation in the first one, I was like, this is expensive. You know, and they're like, well, that's it. And I said, well, so what you're saying to me, I'm just better off just sacking all my staff. Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, give us a break. Yeah. Give us a break on the pension contributions. Give us a break on NI. Do you know what I mean? Otherwise, there's going to be no jobs. They got rid of that £1,000 bonus per employee.
Yeah.
So, you know, they keep doing this. You know, I remember that TV show House with Hugh Laurie, and he worked on the proviso that everyone lies. And that was the running theme through the whole show. Well, the government lies. If you work on that, you're going to be okay.
Yeah, Boris hasn't got a great track record, has he?
He's a prick.
Say what you think. And I think, I mean, we talked about this earlier, but the loopholes that we've had previously with, you know, you exploited it. I mean, sorry, you were canny and found a way with your phone to bend the laws to your rules of avoidance. And got us all locked down. But the delivery, I think people were lots of talk about, you know, well, I'll deliver it to the car park or the guy in the car park. And they've shut that down this time, haven't they? I mean, last time they tried to shut us down by saying, I think this was the problem last time, it was you can do alcohol, but you have to pre-order it. So you've got to ring up and order it, which then he used his magic phone and solved that
problem. I think
what
we should do is we should all get together and we should all go down to Tesco's and we should buy loads of cans of lager and go out, stand outside Tesco's.
Yeah.
It's and drink and sing football songs.
Yeah.
When we finish this.
Yeah, let's do that.
Sainsbury's down the bottom there.
Yeah, we'll just keep on doing it. We'll do it all the pubs, all the publicans. We'll go around the country and stand outside drinking outside supermarkets. There we go.
and then hopefully the government, protest movement coming on.
Yeah, and then the government have to
the
go,
Capitol,
well,
or we drinking need to, outside Tesco.
Yeah, well, then the government have to turn around and go, well, we need to stop supermarkets selling alcohol. They've obviously all got shares in them, haven't they?
Do you want to be the people that stop people being able to drink, though?
What?
Generally,
no, we sit by the back door of the pubs.
Yeah, but do it. You know, and do it. Like, if they're going to, if it's a health issue, shut us all down. No one can
it's
drink.
It's not
alcohol.
A health issue, is it? No, that's the point. That's proven
the problem
this time round.
It's not we don't issue. Like pubs.
Yeah.
If they were honest, it'd be better in a way. At least you know what you're working to.
Oh man, it'd be. I think there'd be a civil war. Mm. But if the customers knew that,
yes, what I mean.
If the government came out and said, well, actually, we've had enough of pub culture in this country. It's time to revisit with a future.
Yeah, I mean, come on, guys. Let's be realistic. It's not about pub culture. They can't
what is
seriously.
It then?
They
what
can't
is it?
Seriously think it's enough about no more pub culture because of the amount of tourism it brings in. The
so what is it then?
Contributes.
What is it?
I don't know. It makes no sense, does
Did
it?
Did Boris's wife leave him for a publican? Well, do you know what I mean? Well, how many wives has he had? How many kids?
He doesn't know.
I don't know. They've ever left him.
He's just had another kid, hasn't he?
You don't. The thing is, you don't know what the agenda is there, and. But it's clear that it's against pubs. It just is. They'll put us up as poster boys when they're advertising the country yoldy in.
Oh, come,
do all that.
You know, come eat out the help out. It's almost an insult.
Yeah,
it is a massive U-turn, isn't it, from eat out to help out to where we are now. I mean,
we'll do everything we can to make sure you can't operate. That's what they're basically saying. So you know what? Support us like Germany did, like Austria, like France. Mm. Give us some money. Tell us to shut up, sit down, be quiet, and we'll let you know when you can reopen. But here's some money in the meantime.
The easy way not to penalise everyone is to have dispersal orders, and you know that you can't gather. Mm. And that's fine, because we know the rules. Under this new tier, you can't.
Yeah, exactly. So regardless of what you've done, enforce it on the people that are causing the problem.
Exactly.
Please do your bloody job. Actually go and disperse those people.
Who was the pub in London Bridge who got shut down when they...
Ben Stackhouse of Pub Love. Yeah, he was told he had to stop doing takeaway on was it Christmas Eve.
That's
or New Year's
right.
Eve?
Which
was completely illegal. He was allowed to do it. Yeah, there was no reason for him to not be doing
it. But they get you, don't you? They turn you up and they make your life hell.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So you get bullied by the police, and they're not going telling the customers to go home.
No.
Do you know what I mean?
But they're trying to deal with behaviour via our businesses. It's not right. That's not right. They'll be knocking on your door and you've had your second bottle of wine next.
Well, don't forget that they're in breach of the licensing rules, aren't they? I mean, ultimately, if you've got an off-licence, then you're allowed to sell off the premises.
Yeah.
The same as an off-licence. So,
the problem is they've snuck a load of stuff through. Well, I think they've just stuck a second runway at Gatwick through yesterday, apparently.
Really?
And they've now extended it. We thought it'd be sort of mid-Feb, didn't we? But it's not. It's the end of March. And, you know, a lot of stuff has just
been really rushed. Another runway at Gatwick
before we know it.
Yeah, honestly, but
did they really put a runway?
Apparently so.
Fuck.
I mean, that may be absolute rubbish, but someone told me that yesterday.
I mean,
Dave's a liar, right enough.
I mean, there's a huge need at the moment for another runway.
Absolutely, just thinking, yeah.
Anyway, okay, moving on. Welcome back to the Lock In podcast. Now, obviously, this time of year traditionally has been one of interest for operators. Generally, it seems to be that speciality month that not only is it a bloody awful month for everyone with a Christmas hangover and everything else, we then have all the special interest groups with Veganuary and the dreaded one for all operators, which is Dry January. So I suppose, I mean... Has Boris done us a favour?
I think they all need to go and do it this time, January. Customers, go and do it. Learn how shit it is, and then next year don't even mention it to us.
I mean, it is one of those things. People still are kind of sort of banging on about it. It does really. It is like a red rag to a bull to every pub operator, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, this is the year maybe for people to get it out of the system, perhaps.
Well, I think if you want to spend some time and look at some of the charities that we support and look at their cash reserves and some of the salaries paid to the big guys, and you look at the pubs that are struggling yet, you know, still on average raise £100 million a year for charity, then crack on and ask whether the highly paid marketeers around some of these big charities should be starting to look for something more innovative that, you know, that is different each year, because just flogging the same old horse and have an adverse effect on actually an industry that raises an awful lot of money for them perhaps isn't the best route forward.
I
am sick of it.
I think what I think is I have a concern for mental health in this country, and the concern I have is you're stuck at home, with your partner.
He's going to do the French anecdote.
Male or female.
He is, yeah.
And you've gone, you're doing vegan January, and you're not drinking, and you're stuck at home for 3 months, mm-hmm. and one of those months is no alcohol.
Homeschooling.
And you're homeschooling your kids. We're going to have a rise in divorces. Domestic violence is going to go through the roof. There's going to be some massive problems.
We're just talking about Heath.
I'm just speaking from experience.
I was waiting for you to drop in the old Prozac French thing, which
go on, you might as well.
I think you've done it five times so far.
So in the 1960s, the French government decided they wanted to curb alcoholism in the French population. So they started heavily taxing wine, beer, whatever they can. And there's been a decline in France for the last 40, 50 years of alcoholism or alcohol consumption. But what it's been replaced with is antidepressants. They're taking 100 million antidepressants a year now. So where would you rather be?
Well, thank you, Heath. That's the fifth time you've told that anecdote. But it is, a valid point. You can't go and make
if you're married, you need to.
Cocktails, anyone?
the one thing that, and we're going to move on to this in a minute, but the one thing that does make me laugh a little bit is the explosion in alcohol-free offering, which has been huge, and that doesn't make me laugh, but it's industry reaction to it. It is almost sort of like a vampire with garlic. Most operators, you mentioned alcohol-free, and they sort of shrink back in horror. And
but they did like that with vegan food and vegetarian food 5 years ago.
So. Most of them still do, but it is that kind of...
let's be honest. If you're an operator and you're somebody who's running a business, the bottom line is you need to make money.
And you can whatever you sell.
Yeah, whatever you sell. So if you want to sit there and pull faces and go, oh, I can't believe you're doing that, you know, man, get over it. You need to make money, especially with what's going on now. Yeah, if you want to
drink those. You've got to march to the tune of, this is a key. Yeah, this is the thing. It's getting the price point right.
Well, but also the process is so, it is more
expensive.
Hugely expensive to do it well.
Yeah, yeah. It is one of those things I keep trying to say to people, you know, don't just fight against it, embrace it, try and do it well, try and market it well and do all that kind of thing. But that's a bit of a moot point when you're shut, because you're not going to have people ringing up for a delivery of alcohol-free beer while you're...
Probably because there are only so much...
Well, they can collect alcohol-free drinks, can't they?
Yeah. But this is very true. Maybe this is the key.
Maybe we need to change the labels. With a magic marker.
0%.
Just cross out 5%, put a big zero there.
50%. Exactly. Damn, wrong place.
Filling up. I can see Heath's little cogs already starting to whir there. Take that Sharpie off him.
Yeah.
Now. Right, okay. Well, now I think what we're going to do is we talked about alcohol-free and we talked about dry January. So we're going to actually try, we're going to do the Pepsi taste test now on some alcohol-free versus their mainstream alcoholic, non-alcoholic-free, whatever you want to call them, varieties. Okay. And see if we can taste a difference, because we did sort of try this once and we were pretty abysmal and failed. So let's see how we get on with that. Okay, we're now going to try some of these alcohol-free beers. So we're going to start the first one, and this is the Moretti. So we don't know if this is alcohol-free or the alcoholic version, so we're going to try it.
That's alcohol-free, isn't it? Yeah, it's got nothing to it. All day long.
Yeah, I think I'm with you on that. Right, let's try the other one. I think we've guessed it. But... Okay.
Yeah, it's alcohol. Yeah, okay. Look at the way my body moves.
Mm.
I'd rather not. Hello,
Heath,
breakfast.
Stop shaking. Okay, so can we confirm whether that was the alcohol-free. So one out of one. Right, let's do it for the next. Okay, we're now on to the next one, and this is the Peroni. So let's see whether we can stop looking at the latest headlines.
Alcohol-free.
Which one am I going first?
Peroni.
Yeah, on which side?
No, that's mine, that's yours.
Come on, keep up.
God, it's sad, isn't it? You can really miss the alcohol, can't you?
Mm. No, it's no alcohol-free, isn't it? Yeah. Oh. Okay, let's swap it, try the next. See whether we are actually right.
I think last time we did this, we had a couple of bottles of wine deep, weren't we? So it probably didn't work as well.
No, you might have been. Okay.
Yeah,
it's got alcohol.
Yeah,
nice. Oh my god, this is depressing. Yeah. Oh my god,
that's nice. I'll drink all that.
Oh, I've got a problem.
So, were we right? Is that? Yes, we were right. Okay, there we go.
Unless you want to finish it, Ed.
No. Oh, go on then. Okay, so now next up we have the Budweiser. One or the other. Let's,
is it Budweiser Budvar or is it Budweiser?
Budweiser.
As in the
ABM. Budweiser Brewing Group.
As in, I think that's probably the alcohol one because it's quite sweet. This stuff's quite sweet, so.
Oh, I don't know that.
I wouldn't put my life in it. It was like, we'd be in
service. I'm so discerning.
Oh, I don't know.
I don't know, yes.
I think that's a Chateau Margaux 76.
I wouldn't want to put my life on the line.
Sam would.
That's real.
Okay. That's the insurance policy.
That's the real one.
You think, so the second
first
one.
First one's real. First second one's real.
Yeah. Night and day nature, that's the second one. But it's their creaminess, you know what I mean? It's quite.
Yeah, it's not bad though, is it?
Hmm.
I mean, yeah. I mean, they've all been pretty consistent. It's just that lack of bite, isn't it, that gives it away. Okay, so what were we saying? The first one. Were we right? The first one was the alcohol?
Brilliant.
What would it.
3 for 3.
What was the object of that?
We were doing the Pepsi challenge.
Okay, so.
We haven't finished yet, we've still got some more.
Oh, we've still got more to go, because I was going to say something, but yep. Wait until the end.
Yeah, wait until the end. Okay, now we are on to the Heineken, so let's try the first of these and see what we think.
Alcohol free. Yeah.
Okay, grab me
a little bit. Is
that Heineken 00? Heineken 00, yeah.
Usually it tastes a bit more. I don't know.
I think it's drinking out of a bottle, might be different.
Or you think it's got more bite normally?
Yeah, no, I think normally it tastes more like lager.
Yeah.
Well, tastes like lager to me.
I'm actually quite as those things go, I think the Heineken 00 is probably one of the best examples.
It's very good. It is very good. But yeah, maybe it's the. Well, let's compare and contrast with the other sample. See if we're right. Try not to smack the microphone with the glass.
Sorry.
Right. Okay.
Yeah, it's quite a big difference.
Yeah.
Is this my one? Very similar.
They are very similar. It's just it's just the bite, isn't it? That's,
yeah. Yeah, I think the alcohol is more of a crunch.
Was that? The first one was alcohol free. There we go. Okay, 4 for 4.
Mm-hmm.
Last one.
4 for 4.
Okay, now we are on to the last one, which is...
a shame, because it's been really interesting. Oh, sorry, Ed. We're still... Yeah, just about.
Okay.
All right, well, I've still got your attention, guys. Last one, Brewdog. This is Punk, either AF or not AF.
Oh, my God.
It's bitter.
That's a hoppy...
I'd say it's probably alcohol.
Possibly. Let's try the other one. It's a slightly different colour, isn't it? So,
yeah.
God, it's like dishwater.
So what you mean, Heath?
Yep.
Yeah, that's the alcohol free, isn't it?
Yeah.
So, second one. The second one was the booze.
Oh.
No!
Exactly, we got it right.
Yeah, 5 out of 5. So, there you go. So we've conclusively proved with that actually you can tell the difference between alcohol free beer.
Yep. Ooh. We're raging alcoholics, and the lack of alcohol in beer just...
I prefer to choose my first example, but I suspect there may be a grain of truth in yours saying that.
I miss you, alcohol.
Let's move on. And welcome back to the Lock In podcast. So now let's look ahead to... post-lockdown. I mean, what do we think the sector's going to look like? Heath, what does the...
battered and bruised.
Still around?
Yeah, I think it'll be still around. I think, you know, I mean, I think there'll still be pubs that open and stuff, and I think people will be desperate to go to pubs, so I think there'll be a rush to get back.
What are they going to look like, though?
Battle worn and like broken and...
Or extremely spruced up because...
Limping towards...
An exhausted licensee in the corner having a AF beer. That's all that's left.
And a large packet of crisps stored.
Yeah, out of date crisps.
All the staff have been on like 5 stone and have watched enough Netflix to last them a lifetime.
What long-term damage or changes?
We're going to lose a lot.
I know we're going to lose a lot, but I think those that come back, I mean, what form are they going to come back in? Because, I mean, let's face it, up to their eyeballs. Yeah. I was going to say something else, in debt. But, I mean, the nature of things, because we're being pushed. Nice pop on the mic there. We're being pushed by...
Persecuted,
yeah. By government into operating in a certain way. So pubs have had to become restaurants. Mm. And, you know, do you think that culture that we've cultured, over many, many years...
I think we forget quite
quickly.
Is that
gone?
No, I don't. I think some places will change forever, because I think they've found that... when we have, in the Lockhart, certainly found that booking... tables, having people sat down rather than people crowded around the bar and around the table, was a nicer environment actually, and it's just been through luck. So I think, you know, we'd adopt that going forward.
I mean, you talked about this the other day, and you said, I mean, and it has to be fair, when you come in here as a customer, it's been more pleasant. It's been, mainly because, let's face it, whoever built this pub was an idiot. Didn't put enough soft furnishing, and everything is marble solid. And sound bounces around.
It's unbreakable.
But it is echoey and loud. So having less people has been better.
Good. Yeah. People spend better.
Does that take away from what it is?
No.
I mean, it's no longer a pub then, is it?
Well, we've seen people like Pierre White take pubs and rip them out, and rip the bars out, rip the public bars out, and turn into restaurants. And I don't think some places have gone more food led because they've had to. And if they're good at it, they'll stay that way. But I think that people soon forget. It's like you have a health scare. You think, I'll do loads of stuff for charity and I'll be really good, and then you just don't bother after 2 days, you know? Maybe that's just me.
That's just you.
But, you know, there's a bit of that.
How is the back of your head with that massive scar?
Yeah, still bad, yeah. I don't think it will change things like that. I think we'll forget quite quickly.
I mean, do you think that... I mean, you've said yourself, you know, table service is something you're probably going to continue with here. I mean, does that mean sort of the end of bar service? I mean...
No, I think it depends on what your skills are as well.
Depends on the pub.
Yeah.
You know, the Anchor, the Wenlock, there'll always be bar service bars if they open. But, yeah, I'd like to get back to bar service and, you know, the Red and
still going to have walk-ins and people stood at the bar. Did you ever have anyone stand at the... I mean, it's Highgate,
we had bar stools. We'd like 11 bar stools all around the bar, and the old boys used to sit there and drink pints. And it really reaffirmed.
You can't lose that. If you've got that, you've got to try and defend that, though.
Do you ever get vertical drinking at the Red?
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, this place was rammed.
Yeah.
Prior to...
You would make more money without the vertical drinking from the Lockhart.
Yeah.
People came, so it was a nice place to come. You know, they may preload somewhere else, and this is the bar in town they wanted to be in. You're the pub in town, so
it's nicer when everyone's sitting down.
Yeah, yeah.
And I suppose, what do you think we're going to be carrying over from this experience, this 12 months of misery?
I think people will become accustomed to booking rather than just seeing a pub as a place to book rather than just to walk into and assume they'll get something. And there'll be fewer pubs, so it'll actually be...
I kind of don't like that, though. You know?
Takes away the essence of...
Yeah, but I like the surging.
I know as an operator,
I kind of like the... You know, you just want to go for a pint with your mate.
Depends on the space you got.
Yeah, I suppose, but you don't want
to... But you go to a town, you know, you're in a different town, you've gone shopping with your wife, mate. Sorry, I'm talking to the wrong people here, but if you've gone out for the day with your wife, and you're in a strange town, you go, you know what, let's just go and have a drink somewhere. And you walk in to a pub. And they say, have you booked?
Yeah, that sucks. That's not what a pub
is. I don't mean that necessarily. I mean like Fridays and Saturdays, because we're quite a food limit.
You're only saying it because it works here.
That's what I'm saying. I'm talking about here.
I
don't want that, though. Yeah.
For an industry, I think we need to be...
You don't book it here.
Yeah, but for an industry, I think we need pubs to be...
Yeah, but I think
we're going to have fewer pubs anyway.
People will think about booking, which they never did before. Down here, they'd always just assume they get a table, and I think that culture there'll be a hangover from that as they start to think about planning the night.
For me, I mean, the way it's always worked with pubs is if you're going out to eat, then generally speaking, you think ahead, you go, I'll book somewhere, unless you're going fast casual dining. Although, round here, to be honest, I always ask if you booked it as well, but it is that, you know, then you book. If you're going out on a whim, then you take what you get, or if you're just going for a drink, you don't book, do you? So.
I mean, there's always that kind of, you're going for a drink, maybe in a pub first, then to a restaurant, or then to a more foodie-led place.
Mm.
But I don't do that anymore because my missus and I have run out of things to talk about when you have a drink in the pub. By the time you get to the restaurant, it's like, can we get this done? No, this is the current.
I'm sorry, current. Yeah, current. Yeah. Mrs. Cuthbertson.
The future act.
Oh, it's going to be interesting how pubs are, though. I think it's like coming out of this, what, you know, has society changed? They've all been at home doing fitness videos and want to remain fit so they don't get COVID again? Or, you know, what are we looking like? Are we seeing the death of the pub? Are we seeing a future?
I'm expecting to see hundreds of Homer Simpsons coming out the door. People just got
didn't Joe
sad.
Wicks have a mental breakdown the other day? So, I mean, that's...
Did he really?
He was quite upset, I think. He was
overwhelmed
by the lockdown and needing to talk to people. So, obviously your exercise regimes aren't everything. So basically from that,
what's a good advert for exercise?
Joe Wicks wants to get out and talk to people. There's the pub.
Mm.
So there you go. That's what we need. We need the pubs back. But
there'll be COVID centres. Don't worry about that. We're doing our vaccinations here.
Maybe we'll talk about that in a minute. But we've seen a lot of technology coming in. I mean, what do we feel about that? Because I know it serves a purpose, and the problem we had before was certainly with some technologies, consumers wouldn't adopt it, but now they have. I mean, what do you feel about that? I mean, things like ordering.
I don't like it.
No.
From an operation point of view, I understand why operators do it, but suddenly you're handing over all your data to a company. They're managing your card processing. You're not seeing the money for a certain amount of time. It's really impersonal. Well,
it depends on what system you
Yeah, I know, raise, but you've still got to scan shit. It's not what hospitality's about. You walk in, you go, scan that, there's the menu. Order off the app. Oh, come on.
Yeah, but that whole... Do you remember years ago, it was the whole thing, with MA500, I think, the guy was talking about data protection and how, you know, you must take someone's data and then you must lock it in 3 safes, you know, and all this stuff. And, you know, do you know what I mean? But now you've basically got pubs around the land with strips of paper with people's data on at the door.
Technically, they shouldn't have been doing that, James.
No,
I did tell you this many times.
We covered us up. It was fine. It was safe in my hands.
It was when you left it at the front and I took pictures of it.
And saw true. Female customers going, somebody keeps on ringing me. You can get these really lewd photos.
Set myself up for that one, didn't I?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But, I mean, I suppose it's the same point, isn't it, with table service, bar service and apps, I guess. You know, are we going to see, you know, that bar service die off because people want to order
We need start. Like, you know what I mean? Like, they talk about employment and they talk about young people and stuff. You know, the more we rely on those sort of things, the less we're hiring people. Do you know what I mean? I know some operators great, we're saving money, but people want the buzz, the atmosphere, the staff, the banter, the fun. Do you know what I mean? What are we going to be served by robots soon? Come on.
Well, you never know. You never know. I mean, so you don't think technology is going to stick?
It's going to take a long time for hospitality for that sort of thing to stick. I think the way we operate and the way our businesses run, it's not, you don't want to be. And technology, especially when people are drunk, not that we're serving drunks, but you know what I mean? Like, they're trying to order stuff and it's just confusing. And
20 pints of 8 steaks. Yeah. But then again, James, you said yourself, you know, you'd rather have table service in this site, so then surely
it
technology.
Just works here because we don't have a room for a public.
But
bar.
Then technology would be a bonus to that because.
Oh, but I don't really want to. I just like the interaction. I mean, from a trade point of view, you get the opportunity to upsell, to talk to them about the wine they're choosing, or the beer they're choosing, or the food they're choosing. I don't want to sanitise that. I mean, I'd be awful if that became an app. Not just for trade, but just for the interaction. That's surely part of that recommendation. You know, this wine will go great with that, or have you tried this? And most of our guys have really good knowledge as well in terms of they've worked in the kitchens too to see how we prep stuff so they get it. I'd hate for that to come in. I'm quite anti that. I think this should be a salvation from that stuff, really. It's bad enough people looking at their phones all the time. He says,
why are we looking at Heath at the moment?
I'm not looking at that.
She was staring at the table vacantly. You gave him too much of that alcohol-free beer.
I must run out of battery.
I've had an allergic reaction.
He forgot his charge. So that's a no to technology, then. You don't think there's a place for it?
I think there's a place for it, but I'd hope it doesn't come crashing in the door. I don't think... I'd keep it about people. It's one of the few places that will be like that, because we're going to, there's going to be, no, High Street's decimated even more, so you'll be ordering more stuff online, actually, to come into the place, be looked after.
James said the same thing when they talked about horseless carriages. He said, it's never going to catch
up. No, no.
Never, never. Horses will never be replaced.
No, exactly. And look, I'm right.
Tilting at windmills. Well, yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm agnostic on that. I think there's a place for it. I think there's certain operations
as well.
I'm not saying that in the slightest. No.
Wish,
Christ. What's an advertiser these days? I don't know. I think, it's got to be seamless, hasn't it? And I think it's got to be adopted by the customer. Mm. It's got to be accepted by you. You've got to have that.
We use Res Diary on our sites, and it's bloody good, right?
I mean,
I remember. I remember when the lockdowns was on. One of the tier restrictions was on, and one of my mates went in the Borough Market, and you had to order beers on an app. And every time, and it didn't keep your information. So every time you ordered the beer, you had to put your credit card details back in again. Like, do you know what I mean?
It doesn't know. It's got to be frictionless. It's got to be pain free.
The Westfield one's quite good, eh? Send your mates stuff and they're in the bar at Gatwick.
Oh, our friend did that. We were going on a trip somewhere and mate says, what table number are you at? And I'm like, blah, blah, blah. And he sent over something like Prosecco.
He
just kept on sending random stuff that we would not drink. Kahlua.
Yeah.
We don't want to drink Kahlua. The bartender was just having a laugh. They just had a table full of drinks that we weren't going to drink.
You'd never have told him the number.
Yeah,
that's
should have given him a number.
Hey, never tell him the number. Yeah.
Don't tell him your name, Pike.
Exactly. A great example, though, where Wetherspoons are ahead of the curve.
Kahlua, you're right.
I was going to say Brexit, but no. Yeah. But no, I mean, it's true, isn't it? Again, for that app and they were way ahead of everyone else, and most people thought they don't catch, but then you need it. Well, we shall see. But let's move on. Well, you are listening to the Lock In podcast, and we are almost at the end of this week's episode. So, we've not got much time. Let's talk about some of the things that have been going on this week. We've seen lots of pubs volunteering to be vaccination.
Lots of PR companies still keeping their feet coming in. I'd call their bluff and say, "All right, then,
go on, do it."
All right,
but the government won't do it because they don't like us. So they don't, even though they won't.
Things that makes me laugh about that, just a bit of a rant about the vaccination thing, is from the day dot we've talked about getting a vaccination, right? We've talked about, and it will come eventually. You thought they might have put some plans in place so that when it actually did arrive, they could just turn the light on, as in know exactly where they are,
have all the volunteers
lined up, not ask when we get it, think, well, I'll tell you what we must do. We must get some professional darts players to put the vaccines in.
But are you genuinely surprised?
No,
everything
not,
Boris done has been an absolute car crash.
But one of them, Chris Whitty's quite backable. I mean,
oh, come on.
No, he's this straight man, isn't he?
Oh, God.
Straight man to Boris is funny.
You thought they'd have got a bit more down the road on that.
The fact that you expected that.
Yeah, I think
you're
stupid.
It says more about you than anything else. But, I mean, why not have pubs as vaccination centres? I mean, as everyone said, you're COVID safe, you've got all the systems set up, you've got
because
the fridges.
Then would be failure. Then we'd be the good guys. then the government would be like, oh geez, we can't punish
these
guys anymore.
Quite important to the community, they've vaccinated them. So you think that's it? You think they will blow that out of the water?
Oh, no chance.
There's no chance.
It honestly, it's PR spin, the whole thing. It's just opening inns and Brewdog doing their thing. It's fine,
It's not a bad call though. Surely.
But they said it's about as backable as telling them to put vaccinations in pints. Isn't it?
I like that.
That's a great idea.
I like that. Yeah.
Then we all win. Job done. 3 weeks, whole place is sorted. Talked about the stats in America, the rollout rate for their vaccine. We've got 10 years till everyone's done.
What?
10 years.
I mean,
that was Dave the Liar told me that again, by the way. it was actually the Making Sense podcast.
Sam Harris?
Yeah, Sam Harris, yeah.
10 years.
10 years.
Mm-hmm. There's going to be no one left in the States by then.
No, they're all inside the Senate.
Most of them are moving to Mexico, aren't they?
They'll have a civil war.
Make you dash for the border. That wall's the wrong side.
Yeah. Civil war kicks off, and that's it.
I mean, yeah. Well, we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I have to say this to the audience. Can't see this. That during that tasting session, you two were cleansing your palates between beers with. Ready salted. Soon to be out of date crisps. Is that it? You're basically trying to get rid of your stock of crisps. There's going to be a lot of operators sat on.
There's going to be a Chris Mountain.
There's going to be Chris Mountains.
Oh, I almost shit everywhere.
Mm. So let's say Christmas. We've had Christmas. What was a highlight? Let's look at best and world, or worst Christmas presents. Go on, James. What was your best or worst Christmas?
Okay, I'll go with the worst was the quality of wine that my guest brought on Christmas Day. I put a lot of effort into Christmas
Day. Hang on, you had guests on Christmas. Oh, you were allowed guests on Christmas.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. I thought we'd caught you around there.
And they shouldn't bother.
Indoors.
All right. They just shouldn't bother. And I'm not being, but they know I'm in an industry.
They don't listen to
this. I'm rather than a Woolworths voucher for the same value, about £3 as it goes. And my highlight was when they went.
They still do Boots vouchers for £3.
I don't know.
That was always the worst present from your auntie, wasn't it? The £3 Boots vouchers.
When 50p's as well, you get them right down, couldn't you? And then my highlight was when they left. I had a great time. But the great thing about Christmas Day was that no matter how bad a time I was having, I knew Heath was having a worse time. And that was the only solace that I had. There was one guy on the planet that was more miserable than me.
That was the worst service I've ever
had. And his wife was away.
That was the worst service and hospitality I've ever had in like 30 years. That was horrible. But the only consolation, the wife and children were in Sweden. And they got stuck there, so that was great. And I never prayed so much for a flight to have been delayed or lost.
You were slightly disappointed, weren't you, when we didn't shut the borders with the...
Yeah, I should have shut down. I didn't understand that. I was really annoyed at Boris.
You'd be lobbying him hard, wouldn't you?
Close the airports. I don't mind you closing the pubs, man, but close that airport.
So basically, the worst Christmas present, wine from the in-laws, worst Christmas present for you was the wife coming back from Sweden.
Yeah, that was pretty much
it. Quite cheery, really. I mean, to be honest, if anyone wants cheering up, they can phone us. Down our lives.
You think you've got it bad?
Yeah.
Speak to these guys. Well, I think...
What about you, Ed?
No, I'm not getting drawn into this in any way. I had a lovely Christmas with my family.
What'd your wife buy you? Can't remember, Ed.
No, I can't remember. She bought me a router.
A what?
A router.
A what?
It's like a drill for woodwork. You like do woodworky things with it. It's lost on YouTube. It's lost on YouTube. It was a great gift, and I might have asked for it.
So what your face is saying. Sam won't listen to this, of course. So that's fine.
Fingers crossed. Right, that is definitely it now for this episode of the Lock-In Podcast. We will be back next week to find out how our government has managed to twist the knife on hospitality a little more, as seems to be the case. But in the meantime, from James and Heath, thank you very much.
Miserable new year, everyone.
Thank you, guys. Stay tuned for the next episode.